Greetings and welcome to the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, here to guide you along this podcasting journey through some fun stuff. We have a lot to cover. Making the return on the podcast, I have been away for a little while on the podcasting end. To be honest with you, Super Bowl 50 sucked. It sucked. Now, look, you got a boatload of people who had their opinions on Super Bowl 50. I did not want to sully America with my opinion and spoken word, so I opted not to do a podcast, because the game can be summed up pretty simply by Von Miller. And that's, other than that, there really wasn't much to talk about as it relates to the game. Peyton Manning stunk, but that's another story for another day, which we'll get to, obviously, with him in a second. But first, if you are listening to this podcast for the first time, you have no idea who I am or anything about what I do. You can check out the social media rundown, joemontanasrightarm.com. That's the blog. The Twitter handle, @joemsrightarm. We're on Vine. We're on Facebook, Joe Montana's Right Arm on Facebook as well. All kinds of good time stuff as it relates to the world of social media. So, the reason for the return to podcasting, a couple of things. Number one, I was highly encouraged by one of my friends who said, hey, dude, like, you got to do stuff. You can't just sit on the shelf for, you know, my math's right. Let's see, we're in March. If you say, okay, the real fun in football doesn't start until late July, August, you're looking at about five months. You don't want to take 5 months off from podcasting. That's not helping anybody. So we're going to go with a regular podcast model again. We're going to keep it going. I'm going to warn you right now. The NFL season, there's some weeks where it's fun. There's some weeks during the off season where it's not so fun. And we will be talking about some different things. Some things we'll be talking to you about may pertain to pop culture, may pertain to the WWE, like this podcast today, which we'll get to in a second, because that's for later on in the show, and we'll introduce a new segment as it relates to that. But first, the big story in the National Football League is the retirement of everybody's boy, everybody's ham bone, or whatever you want to call it, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning has decided to hang it up after playing in the NFL since 1998. He is no longer going to take snaps in the National Football League. And just to kind of give you an idea of how I found out about this. So, I'm taping this early Monday morning. I didn't get home. I arrived to a hotel around 4 a.m. On early Sunday morning. Went to sleep close to 5, and I woke up at about 9:30 because I said, hey, I need the complimentary, well, not complimentary, it costs me money. I need the hotel buffet. Need to get that in my system. So I roll over and check my phone, and then at the bottom of the messages I had on the front screen, on the home screen, it said, Peyton Manning set to retire, as announced by ESPN's Chris Mortensen. And then I took my time to read during breakfast all of the comments and the articles that were being spit out by media members about Peyton Manning, and oh my God. I mean, look, I make no bones about the fact that how I think Peyton Manning is somewhat similar to a used car salesman. As a football player, one of the all-time greats. I'm not dumb enough to argue that point. But you feel a little sleazy dealing with him sometimes. Especially in light of the HGH stuff and the sexual harassment stuff in Tennessee. You just, you know, you feel a little skeevy listening to that guy talk. At least I do. But the worst part of the Peyton Manning mystique all these years has been at the top of the food chain, the media. The pandering, the butt-kissing, the whatever connotation you want to put on it, the brown-nosing that is done of this guy is out of this world. No athlete, maybe ever, has received the level of adulation. And I don't want to say for no reason, because a lot of people obviously think he's a great player. And he is. But the level of just, oh my God, some of this stuff today was just crazy. Crazy. Guys, he's not dead, okay? I mean, Jesus. Some of the nonsense. You know, Gary Kubiak saying, now, look, I get it. Gary Kubiak is his coach, or was his last head coach. And he says, not only is he a Hall of Fame player, he's a Hall of Fame person, too. Gary must not be reading the news lately. He's not a Hall of Fame person, okay? Let's cut that crap out. Let's stop. But some of these articles, the open letters, and talking about how great Peyton is, and what a credit to the NFL he was, and all that stuff. Fine. But my God, I mean, the line I saw, well, two lines that struck me in a few articles. I'm not going to call the reporters out by name because that's not my style. You can find it on your own. The common phrases that were thrown out today were, he belongs on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. He is the greatest quarterback in the history of the regular season. Who in the hell cares that you're the greatest quarterback in the history of the regular season? Let me ask you a question. Who's the greatest running back in regular season history? Who's the greatest wide receiver in regular season history? You don't know? Good. You shouldn't. Because nobody gives a damn. Nobody cares about who the greatest of all time in a regular season is. That's insulting the fans. Just stop it with that nonsense. Stop. And then the Mount Rushmore thing. Media members, no one will ever admit this. Media members are so butthurt that this guy, they can't really legitimately call him the greatest of all time. Guys are so butthurt about that. And you can read it in the articles, like, he's on the Mount Rushmore. He's maybe the greatest quarterback ever. He is in the discussion as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. No one has ever disputed that. Sure, he's one of the greats ever, okay? I'd be the first to tell you that. And I don't even like the guy. He's one of the greatest ever. But guys, it's okay to say a great player is not the greatest. Reading some of these articles today, it seemed like people, oh my God, you had to wipe the tears off their face. Grow up. He went to 4 Super Bowls. He won 2 of them. He didn't play well in either Super Bowl run, okay? People aren't going to regard him as the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't need this. There's some of these websites, these metric websites out here, numbers websites that put out this stuff. Ah, you crunch the numbers. Peyton Manning's the greatest of all time. Look, if you want have a game where your house and your car's on the line, and you're having Peyton Manning play against the 78 Steelers, if you want to go and have Peyton Manning as your quarterback, Godspeed. I hope you find a new car and a new house, because you're going to lose both of them. Okay? You're going to lose them. That's the bottom line. This guy to be dragged to the finish line. All right? This is riding off into the sun. That's not riding off into the sunset. Kissing Papa John is not riding off into the sunset. I mean, that's it. Come on. Come on, guys. I mean, if I don't know if you all saw Twitter today. On my Twitter account, I posted a video about a kid, or a bunch of kids in the Indianapolis area in Indiana that were named after Peyton Manning, for obvious reasons. And one kid said, and I made a Vine out of it because I thought it was so ridiculous. One kid said, my parents and my mom in particular had it narrowed down for my name when I was born between either Peyton for Peyton Manning or Ryan for Ryan Leaf. And my name would be whoever the Colts took with that pick in 1998. Like, seriously? Come on. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, we need to start having applications for parenting, but that's another story for another day. That's crazy. But is what it is. People love the guy unconditionally and irrationally. Maybe nobody in the history of professional sports received a free pass for this guy like this guy did. And I'll tell you what, this is where he is better than Tom Brady. And that's at manipulating the media. You look at the guys that are dishing out these reports. They're all Manning guys. Bill Polian, duh. One of his bosses in Indianapolis. Adam Schefter, ties with Denver. Jim Nance, shares the same agent as Peyton Manning. And I believe Schefter and Nance have the same agent as Manning. And Chris Mortensen is a friend of the family. So where are you going to go to get legitimate analysis about Peyton Manning? The only guy who I ever heard who seemed to be comfortable in his own skin criticizing the Almighty was Deion Sanders. That's the only guy. And Deion said after the Super Bowl, you know what? Don't come back. Leave. Leave while you can. Leave with this Super Bowl in your back pocket. Either you leave the game or the game leaves you. That's what he said. Spot on. Spot on. And he's called this guy on the carpet before. But for whatever reason, media members, they don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. The ESPN stuff, man, they were laying it on thick on Sunday. All the tributes, altering programming. I hope everybody's keeping score home because, you know, are we going to see this done for Tom Brady? I don't think so. And that's getting back to my point. You know, Manning was just so good at manipulating the media. He knew when to tell the jokes. He knew when to leak stories. He had it down. He had it down. And that's where he got Brady, because Brady, because of who he plays for, because of how they go about their business, he wasn't that type of guy to let you in to what they were doing. That's just how he is. That's just how they do business. And I think a lot of people were offended by that. I don't know if they'd ever say that, but it's pretty evident there were some people in the media who were a little offended by how the Patriots do their business. And in turn, that kind of affects Brady. But oh my God, it's just, and I can't, this thing they're going to put on Monday, and you may be listening to this after it happened, they're going to have a celebration for Peyton Manning on Monday in Denver. And it was required that media members who wanted to attend RSVP by 3 p.m. on Sunday. Now, mind you, this is a story that came out at like 8 o'clock in the morning, basically, Eastern time, on Sunday. So they want people to have that type of turnaround. And then they said, okay, you got to RSVP by 3, but then we have to approve that you can come. And I'm guessing that's because they only want certain questions asked. We'll see if somebody has the temerity to ask some tough questions during that softball contest that will take place at his press conference. And it sucks, man, because Brady and Belichick, so complimentary of Peyton Manning. And again, the on-the-field stuff, I get it. I really do. He's a special football player. But Jesus. Oh, the level of nonsense this morning. Guys, he's not your family member. Like, come on. Anyhow, enough about that. I do want to get to one point, and that's Peyton Manning's place in history. And that is what ultimately all this stuff is going to come down to. Where do you think he places? I'll tell you right now, he's not number one for me. Duh. He's not number two. He's probably not number three. He may not be number four. He might be number five. I would say right now, without having done any serious, heavy-duty study. This is my top five, okay? Number one is Tom Brady. Longevity, the rings. Montana's undefeated in the Super Bowl, but it's hard to make an argument against Brady, man. It just is. He's just been so good so long now. And all those records that Peyton Manning has that they're waving around in your face, Brady probably is going to collect a couple of those along the way. You would think. So that is going to be one interesting dynamic, too. I mean, lost in all this hysteria is the fact that, you know, Brady has played three fewer seasons than Peyton Manning. And we'll just have to wait and see on whether or not he can catch him. Because if he catches those records, if he gets half of the records that he's in range for, yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, guys, all these, the Peyton Manning apologists, what are you going to say then? I don't know what you're going to say. You're running out of ammunition. Your ammunition right now is those records. That's it. Once you lose those, you don't have a leg to stand on anymore, buddy. Brady 1, Montana 2, Unitas 3, I would go Elway 4, Then I'd probably go Marino 5, Manning 6. Like, people hate Dan Marino because he got to that one Super Bowl, got killed, and never came back. I mean, you got it. It's funny to me. Like, everyone loves throwing these records in your face when they talk about Manning. The guys that... Look at whose records they're breaking. They're breaking Marino's records. They're breaking Favre's records. So, like, you have to put those guys in the argument. That, to me, is the thing. Like, when you talk about Manning's place in history, he's there with Marino and Favre. He's, like, in that cluster. He's not with those other three guys. And maybe Elway. I'm a big Elway guy. I'm a big Elway advocate, man. So... I just think Elway's the most physically gifted player ever. He could throw it, he could run it, he could throw it and run it with accuracy. That's not easy to do. There have been a lot of guys who can throw it and run it, but Elway just, man, the way he carried his business, the way he did it without any help until the end of his career was just spectacular. So that's where I'd put Manning. I'd put him right around 5-6. Okay, time for a new segment here on the JMRA podcast, and that is Now for Something Totally Different. That's the name of the segment, Now for Something Totally Different. We spend a lot of time talking about the NFL, but in order to keep this podcast functioning throughout the offseason, we're going to talk about other things. And the first item we're going to jump into is WrestleMania 32. If you're unaware, if you haven't followed the blog much, I'm a huge professional wrestling fan. On occasion, I will write professional wrestling pieces. I call it pro wrestling, not sports entertainment, because that's what it is. It's wrestling. Come on. WrestleMania 32, and this is kind of sort of a football story in a roundabout way. WrestleMania 32 will emanate from Jerry World, AT&T Stadium, in Arlington, Texas. It will be in the home of the Dallas Cowboys. So let's run down the card and some key aspects of the card. So the main event, Triple H versus Roman Reigns for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. If you're new to wrestling, here's what you need to know. Triple H is working in the WWE front office, okay? He is married to the amazing Stephanie McMahon. We'll circle back to that in a second. He was a wrestler for a long time. Now, he has traded in his wrestling gear, mostly for the opportunity to work behind the scenes in the WWE. However, every once in a while, good old Triple H dusts off the wrestling boots and comes back. He won the Royal Rumble in January to become the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And now he's basically, he wrestles once or twice a year at this point. So he's a special attraction guy. But he's the champ right now. And he will wrestle Roman Reigns, who is the flavor of the moment in the WWE as far as backstage goes. They want Roman Reigns to be the next big deal. So in other words, they want him to be like the next Hulk Hogan, sort of, the next John Cena. That's who they want him to be. The fans are totally not accepting of this. So you have a scenario set up for WrestleMania. We're going to have this spectacle in front of possibly 100,000 people. And Roman Reigns, he's going to win a match. Spoiler alert, he's going to win. He's probably going to get booed heavily at the end of the show. So I don't know how they're going to get around that, but that'll be interesting. So the setup to this feud basically was Roman Reigns has been picking on the McMahon family because the McMahon family picked on him, and he had some unsavory things to say about Vince and Stephanie and all this stuff. So eventually they screw him out of the title by putting it up for grabs in the Royal Rumble. Triple H wins the Royal Rumble, and then after, let's see, I guess about 2 weeks ago, he beat him half to death on television and caused, quote, some facial reconstruction to be done to Roman Reigns. And alas, boom, you have your WrestleMania main event. In part because Roman Reigns also won a three-way match between himself, Brock Lesnar, and Dean Ambrose, with the winner getting a title shot at WrestleMania. So he got the title shot, and then Triple H tried to erase him from the face of the earth. So it should be a great match. I don't know if the fans will like it. They'll probably hate it. They're probably going to boo him out of the building. Roman Reigns, that is. But this is the bed that Vincent K. McMahon has made. And he and the company will have to lay in it for quite some time. Another big match. Shane McMahon, son of Vince, versus The Undertaker. The Undertaker making his return once again. This was not supposed to be the match. The match was supposed to be John Cena versus The Undertaker. As a high-profile marquee match, Cena injured himself months prior, and now the WWE had to dial into emergency mode to get Shane McMahon, who has not appeared on WWE television before a couple of weeks ago, for roughly 6 years. So that shows you how desperate they are. The company has been decimated by injuries. They go get Shane McMahon. He's going to do something that resembles a wrestling match. YouTube, or if you have the WWE Network, check out his stuff. His matches normally are pretty fun, so this one should fall similarly in this vein. The thing I am enjoying with this angle is the interaction with Shane and Stephanie that we've seen. Last week, it was Stephanie giving this big promo about how she really had some major issues with Shane. And by the way, I don't want to talk out of turn here, but I mean, Stephanie McMahon is maybe the best female on the microphone maybe ever. I mean, she is amazing cutting promos. Spectacular. And she's pretty hot, too. I mean, I watched a video earlier today from the WWE Network. It was from Raw of, I think it was December 13th, 1999. It was right after Triple H had convinced Stephanie to turn on Vince, and she became a heel, and the rest, as they say, is history. And that led behind the scenes to Triple H and Stephanie getting married eventually. So you watch that video, and it's just like, I mean, she was cute back then, but man, you look at now, Jesus, she's tremendous. I will say she's tremendous on the microphone. She's tremendous to look at. Just has a full package performer. Anyhow, I got sidetracked. So the match, Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker. Look, this match is going to be The Undertaker winning, probably. And I think this is all to buy time to the eventual showdown between The Undertaker and John Cena, which probably will not take place until WrestleMania 33. Hopefully both of those men are upright and willing and able to still do that match. It just sucks that they can't do it for WrestleMania, unfortunately. Cena has like a torn torn labrum or torn rotator cuff, one or the other. It's an injury that hurts and requires a lot of downtime. So we'll see what happens to him. Elsewhere on the card, Brock Lesnar, formerly of the UFC, if you remember him from there. He has been in the WWE, now back for, God, we're going on 4 years now since his return, and he is wrestling Dean Ambrose. So a weird thing has happened here with this Dean Ambrose Roman Reigns dynamic. So they're like like if you're watching a cop buddy film, like those are the two buddies that are cops, Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. They're the best of buds. And this is presented on television in a way that they're trying to get Roman Reigns to get cheered too, but they're actually making Dean Ambrose a bigger star than Roman Reigns, like indirectly. And I don't think that was the intent, but that's what's happening. And it's going to continue to happen in this match. Brock Lesnar is going to beat him half to death, and he's going to win, but Ambrose is probably going to come out as a bigger star after this match because, A, he's wrestling Brock friggin' Lesnar. I mean, Lesnar is one of the biggest stars in sports, to be honest with you, at least in my opinion. It might be a little crazy to say, but I believe that. And he has a face of recognition from his UFC days. So he's kind of a big deal. Anyhow, I see this finishing up with Ambrose losing and then going off to bigger and better things, maybe wrestling Roman Reigns for the WWE title down the line. I feel like that's going to happen. They're going to have to maybe turn him heel or something. Somebody has to turn. They have too many good guys right now. It's okay to make bad people on television. And lastly, my personal favorite, Charlotte, the Divas Champion, taking on Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks. Three-way match, triple threat for the WWE Divas Championship. This could be the match that steals the show. I think it's either that or the Lesnar-Ambrose match that will be the most entertaining match on the show for WrestleMania. My main hope for that match is that the fans just don't become jerks. It's been hard for the women's division to gain respect, and hopefully they can do that with this match. Really looking forward to that. I had a chance to actually meet Charlotte back in December. Lovely woman. Great character. Love her dad. Love Rick. Rick's tremendous. Ric Flair is just, he is the salt of the earth. And I really hope they keep the title on her for a little bit longer until Bayley comes up, and then you can do what you wish at that point. But anyhow, this should be a fantastic match between, really, maybe the three best female performers in the entire company. So, should be a tremendous outing for those three as a part of the triple threat match at WrestleMania 32. Some other stuff that's going to go down at WrestleMania 32. So, The Rock's going to be there. Stone Cold Steve Austin is probably going to be there. And some other bizarre stuff that's happening that I think may come into play here. So, Stephanie McMahon has been posting these workout videos on Instagram, which I think is kind of weird and maybe suggesting that she's going to do something at WrestleMania. I hope they bring back Ronda Rousey. I know she's kind of, who knows what she's doing these days after losing to Holly Holm. We'll see what they have up their sleeve there. It looks like something is in the works, but she's been posting a lot of workout videos lately, which is somewhat suspicious. Elsewhere, it looks like they're doing something with Brie Bella, the wife of now-retired WWE superstar Daniel Bryan, and Lana, who is the wife of, well, soon-to-be off-screen wife of Rusev. And it looks like they're heading towards some type of match. Lana has never wrestled before, so it looks like they're going to do something with her and Brie Bella at WrestleMania. At least I think that's what they're driving to. That would be pretty interesting because what I would do there is I would just stash Daniel Bryan in Brie Bella's corner and Rusev in Lana's corner and have them do those silly training montages and stuff like that. You know, kind of ham it up. But yeah, I think that would be pretty cool. Otherwise, the show itself, I think, you know, once you get past those four matches, I think there's plenty of other stuff that will eventually be announced to the public that will entertain. But I felt like it was good to get out in the open with my enjoyment of professional wrestling and the WrestleMania 32 card. We will have more WWE chatter headed your way on the podcast. That'll do it for the JMRA podcast. I am your benevolent host, Joe Montana's right arm, reminding you to join us on JoeMontanasRightArm.com, on Twitter at JoeM'sRightArm, and a whole lot more. We'll be back soon with another podcast. Until next time, have a good one, everybody.